Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be with you again in Charlottetown. It's always nice to come here. If you have your Bibles with you and you care to read along with me, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. John and Kelly were in Fredericton last week, and they heard this message already, so if you want to go to sleep, that's fine, okay? I understand. Matthew 23, we'll begin reading at verse number 32, verse 32 of Luke 23. And there were also two other malefactors led with him, the Lord Jesus, to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, thanks very much, brother, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, truly, I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. God will bless the public reading of his precious word, as he always does. I was standing in Tim Hortons. We all know Tim Hortons. I was standing in Tim Hortons about a month ago, and I'm waiting in line. There's always a line up there, you know, so I'm waiting in line. And there was a gentleman talking to another gentleman in front of me. And he said to his friend, I don't know what they were talking about, but he said, Well, I'll be damned. Well, I couldn't let that go. No. I said, Excuse me, sir. You know, it's not that you will be damned. You already are damned. You already are damned, sir. I'm damned, we're all damned, we're born that way, condemned already, because of our sin. Not that you will be, you are. And so is everyone who's not in Christ. We need to come to Christ. So I gave him a gospel tract. I said, I hope you read that and obey the gospel, and you won't be damned anymore, sir. And he said, Thank you. So, this is the first point I'd like to point out here, is the word condemnation. His condemnation, this man, well, two men on the cross. I want to focus on the man who was a wise man. God said, Oh, that they were wise, that they would consider their latter end, the end of my life. Good to do that. Young ladies, you're only queen for a day. You remember that, yes? Consider your latter end. This man did. The other thief, all he thought about was this life, as though this is all there is right down here. Get us down, he said, and let me go live a few more years down here. A very unwise man. Now, this thief who was wise, he was in this, he said, the same condemnation we are, you and I. We deserve to be here. The word is sentence pronounced. It is the result or product of judgment. They were judged. They were found guilty, both those men. And they were nailed to the cross and left there to die. A malefactor is an evil worker, a criminal. They were criminals. They had sinned against the state of Rome. Yes? Well, we have all sinned against God. Every single one of us in the world, that is the very first point that a man or a woman has to get a hold of, is that I'm guilty, okay? I'm guilty before God. I'm condemned already. That's John chapter 3. I'm condemned already. Judgment has been passed upon you, upon me. We're born that way, under the judgment of Almighty God, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is love. Indeed, He's love, yes? He sent His only begotten Son into the world to take care of that matter of sin. But until we come to Him, we are condemned. The end of John chapter 3 says, if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I've repented and believed on Him, I have everlasting life. But the last half of the verse, closing John chapter 3, says, if you don't believe on the Son of God, if you don't obey, is the word, the Son of God, the wrath of God abideth on you. You think about that now. God's anger rests upon you, because you won't surrender to Jesus Christ. You want to live your life the way you want to live your life, yes? And that's why He's angry. I gave my Son to die for you, and what has it meant to you in your life thus far? It's meant nothing, nothing. Lamentations chapter 1, is it nothing? All you that pass by, come and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Yes, which the Lord hath done unto me. He's from above poured fire into my bones. Judgment for your sin. It's very personal, you know. You shall stand one day all alone before Him. Your sin. He was punished for your sin. Is it nothing to you? Nothing. It's got to mean something to you. You know, we are asleep, God says. We are asleep in sin. Satan just rocks the world to sleep. And if you're not saved this morning, if you're not sure of heaven this morning, you are sound asleep in your sin. Sound asleep. You don't understand what's really going on, okay? Forget this life. One day this world won't even be here. Jesus Christ said the earth will be gone. Heaven will be gone. There'll be the Father's house, heaven, and Gehenna, the place of eternal punishment, and you will be in either one place or the other. You think about that. You're hearing reality this morning. Forget this world. It's a big lie. It's a delusion. It's all it is. Satan, the god of this world, trying to keep you away from Christ. And thus far, he's been successful, hasn't he? Yes? Huh? You live your life for this? You live your life for this world right here. This world is nothing. It's going to be all gone one day. And then eternity. Think about eternity, friend. Don't go back to sleep when this meeting is over. Many, many people do. We have sinned against God. There was a man who worked at a pharmacy in Brooklyn. Very good working man, hardworking man. Yes, getting promoted. One day a detective walked in and put his hand on his shoulder and said, "You are under arrest." He said, "May I please go home and say goodbye to my wife and my child?" He said, "Yes, I'll take you." It was obvious he was very docile. He was not going to put up a fight. He was going with the detective. He knew he was guilty. So they go to his apartment. Now his wife is looking at her husband and this man beside him, and she knows there's something wrong here. And he said, "Have I not been a good husband to you, dear? The last 6 years of our life, yes? Yes, you have. Have I not been a good father to my son? Yes, you have. And I've been a good employee, haven't I? Yes, you have." He said, well, you know what? I'm an escaped convict. I escaped from penitentiary 7 years ago. I got a name change. Started a new life. But my sin has caught up to me. And now I must face the consequences. There was a man. He was all right with his wife, wasn't he? He was all right with his son. He was all right with his neighbors. He was all right with his friends. He was all right with his employer. But as far as the state of New York was concerned, he was all wrong. All wrong, sir. You've sinned against the state of New York, and you must pay the penalty of your sin. You may be all right with your family. Yes, mother and father, huh? Husband, wife, friends, family. You may be all right with them, huh? But as far as God is concerned, understand something. You're all wrong. You are all wrong. You see? You need to be saved from your sins. The whole Bible is about sin. Cover to cover, sin's the problem. You are in your sins, and you need to get out of your sins. So God wants you to pay attention when the gospel is preached, okay? It is the power of God unto salvation, this message you're hearing right now. Romans chapter 1 says it's the same power that creation was made by, the same power of the resurrection. The same power is in this message right here if you'll obey it. If you will obey it. The first truth we have to grasp, I'm guilty, but the good news is he that believeth on him, Jesus Christ, John 3:18, is not condemned, okay? You're not condemned anymore if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about him, not a head knowledge, it's not theory. It's I believe, and my life shows I believe. I keep his commandments. I love him. I pray. I read the Bible. I believe on him. He's my Savior, my Lord, my God. Yes, you're not condemned when you believe on him. Romans 8:1 says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Now, this morning, you're either in your sins or you're in Christ, one or the other. Don't think, there's no middle ground, you know. There's no middle ground. I'm a good person. Doesn't matter if you're a good person. It doesn't matter one bit how good a person you are. You're either in your sins or you're in Christ. And God wants to lift you up, translate you out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the place of condemnation, your sins, and place you into the glorious kingdom of God in Christ. Yes, you're one or the other, and there's mercy for you. Absolute mercy. God loves you. See, God loves you. That's what it's all about. He loves you so much. Every day of your life, he's pleading with you through circumstances in life, trying to get your attention to wake up to him. There's mercy for you. There was a pirate in the days of Caesar Augustus, and he was pillaging the seas. Boat after ship after ship, he kept hearing about this, and Caesar Augustus said, there's a very large sum of money to anybody who will bring me the head of that pirate and place it at my feet. Well, the pirate heard about this. He made his way into Rome. He made his way to the palace. And he made his way right standing face to face before Caesar Augustus. Yes. And then he lay down at his feet, and he placed his head at the feet of Caesar Augustus. And the man couldn't believe it. He looked down at him. He commended him. He commended him for having faith in the mercy of this man, Caesar Augustus. He was a merciful man. He rewarded the pirate. He pardoned the pirate and commended him on his faithfulness in his mercy. And that, my friend, is what you must do. Come as a guilty sinner and lay down at the feet of Christ. Yes? And believe on him. Very simple. Yes? Very simple. Condemnation. Notice the question. The very first words out of his mouth are a question to the other thief. He says, dost not thou fear God? Well, therein lies the great problem, doesn't it? There's the great problem in the world. Nobody fears God. Psalm 36 and 1 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They get up in the morning whistling, happy, get breakfast, have your shower, get out, enjoy your day. Yes, live your day. Come home at night, life goes on. I don't even think about God. Fear God, I don't even see God. Where is he? I don't fear God. God says in Jeremiah 23 and verse number 16 and verse number 17, here's what people are hearing all over Charlottetown this morning, all over the world in churches, okay, where the man or woman preaching is not a believer. He says they speak of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. The Lord has said, ye shall have peace. That's what they're hearing. Ye shall have peace. No evil shall come upon you. No evil shall come upon you. That's what they're hearing. I heard that I was 30 years old before I heard the truth. I don't have any peace. I'll never have peace until I come to Christ. God says their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. You get that? If you're going to university, you go ahead and ask your professor, huh? Should I fear God? He'll look at you and probably laugh. What are we talking about? Fear God. There is no God. Yes? And you go to all the religions in the world. You don't have to fear God. For goodness sake, he's a God of love, isn't he not? Think he'd send you to hell? Look at you. You're all good people. You're all good people. Well, we all sin sometimes. God is a God of love, and you're a child of God, and you are going to heaven when you die, so don't worry about it. And people leave, and they don't fear God. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The very beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Okay? Dost not thou fear God? You know, he's not going to judge you now for your sin. God said, I didn't send my son into the world to condemn the world. I sent my son into the world that the world might be saved, not condemned. But there's judgment coming in your future. In your future, it's coming. On the other side of death, it's coming. Yes, in some ports still in the land, there are signs at the deck on the port where the big ships are, and it says stowaways are prosecuted on the other side. Okay? You get to the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, they find you out, you go to jail for your crime, your sin. You stowed away on the ship. Well, when we leave the shores of life and go out into eternity, you are prosecuted on the other side, friend. It's coming. You can't escape the judgment of Almighty God. As far as fearing God goes, dost not thou fear God? People don't fear God today. Just listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Listen to his words. And fear not them that kill the body. Matthew 10:28. Fear not them that can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. The soul is you. You live inside your body. Okay? I live inside mine. You live inside yours. He's don't fear the man that's going to kill your body. And he can't touch you. Because when your body drops down dead and your heart stops beating, we go out into eternity. You know the word death means separation. Yes? Peter said in 2 Peter 1, shortly I, Peter, inside the body here, I must put off this my earthly house. You see what he's saying? I'm living inside here, Peter's saying. And when I die, I'm putting off this house. It'll drop to the ground and I, Peter, will go. It is soon cut off, it says in Ecclesiastes, my life, and I fly away, up or down. Yes? The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. He was about to have his head cut off. Do you understand what death is? You just leave your body, friend. Okay? You're going to exist forever. You are. And you must be saved before you leave. The Son of Man hath power on earth and earth only to forgive your sins, not after you die. After you die, it's too late. There's only judgment after you die. He said, rather, listen to what he said. The Lord Jesus Christ said, fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul, body and you, in hell, Gehenna. Fear God. He's able to kill your body and cast your soul, you, into Gehenna. Gehenna is a place of everlasting punishment. It's used 12 times in the Bible. It's translated hell. Hades is translated hell. They're two different places. What is Hades? Well, Hades is like the jail, yes? The guy's in the courtroom. He's found guilty. So he gets back to jail. Sentencing will be on May 2nd, okay? It's like being in Hades. That's all. He's in Hades awaiting the judgment of Almighty God when sentence will be pronounced. Yes? That's what hell is, filling up every day. People down there, they're not staying there for all eternity. The second resurrection, they'll be reunited with their body, okay? The second death. Remember what death means? Separation. The second death. Separated from God for all eternity. All eternity, everlasting punishment. Gehenna means eternal prison house. It means the place of everlasting punishment. And so May 2nd comes, and there's the man brought up out of Hades, as it were, out of the jail. He's standing before the judge. If you die in your sins, you'll stand before the judge. And that judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 20, the great white throne. And you stand before him now for sentencing. And you know what he'll say to you? Hope you're listening. You know what he'll say to you? Your sins will be brought up quickly. Just bang, okay? And then he'll say this to you. Here's your great crime. Here's the unpardonable sin. Depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. You were more interested in living your life down here for yourself, right? Independent of me. You didn't want me in your life. Now you stand before me, and you actually expect me to bring you into the sinless, holy heaven to be with me. Huh? To be with me? You didn't want me in your life. You didn't want me. I don't even know who you are. You're not my friend. You never wanted to be my friend. You didn't want a shepherd. Depart from me. I never knew you. And he's taken away, cast into Gehenna. 11 times Jesus Christ said Gehenna, translated hell in the Bible. And people say, oh, I don't believe in hell. You don't believe in hell? Well, Jesus Christ sure did. He sure believed in Gehenna. Yes, he did. And he said, fear God, man, fear God, lest you go to that terrible place. That's the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of God. There's a painting over in a little town called Bloemfontein. They had a terrible flood there about 150 years ago, coming through the town. No, the people didn't realize just how devastating this flood was going to be. It was a terrible flood. And there were some people on the balcony of this hotel, maybe about 25 feet up in the air, and looking down into the street, and the water's coming down the street, you know, maybe 7 feet high, far, far away from them. They weren't afraid. They had no fear of that flood. They did not believe the flood would touch them. They were in the place of safety. We're on the balcony. The painting, still hanging there today, is called The People That Laughed. Okay? And they're laughing. They're laughing. They aren't afraid at all of the flood. Within 10 minutes, the flood swept that balcony right off the side of that hotel. And they all perished. And you know what? There wasn't even a smile on their face when they perished. They weren't afraid. God says, listen, if you want to be saved and in my family and in heaven when you die, you have to fear me. I'm a God that is to be feared. All right? He's a God of love, but you must understand he's a righteous, holy God, and you've sinned against him, and that's why his son was sent down here to die, to restore that which he took not away. God says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. His salvation is near unto those people in this world who are afraid of him. Yes. And it says in Psalm 85:9, surely his salvation, or the secret of the Lord rather, the secret, is there a secret that's been hidden from you all your life? I felt there was. 8 years old, I felt there was. There's a truth hidden from me, a secret. I don't even know what it is, but I felt in my heart it exists, a truth. So far in your life, it's been hidden from you. It says, a secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That fear him. You see, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And he will show them his covenant. That's the rest of the verse. He will show them his covenant. A good prayer would be, Lord, reveal unto me, the beginning of wisdom. Reveal it to me, Lord, please. I'm not afraid of you. Be honest with them. I haven't been afraid of you all my life. I want to be afraid of you because I understand the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So, Lord, reveal unto me from your heart now on your knees with the Gospel of John open before you. Please reveal unto me the beginning of wisdom that I might be saved. Notice his confession. Condemnation, his question, his confession. He says to the other thief, you know, we receive the due reward of our deeds, and we receive it justly. Do you see what he's saying? That's his confession. That's repentance toward God. We are nailed to the cross. We're going to die. We're up here because we deserve to be up here. Okay? Justly. We're here justly. That is true repentance. Okay? Most people believe that they're worthy of heaven, okay? You probably do, don't you? Right? Yes? You're a nice guy, aren't you? Right? You're a nice lady. Yes. You probably go to heaven. I ask people all the time. I go door to door a lot, knocking on doors. I love doing that. It's very exciting work, you know. Who's on the other side of that door? Yes? And I ask them, do you think you'll go to heaven when you die? And they all come back with the same answer, you know. Oh, well, I think so. Probably I will, you know. I'm not a bad guy. For goodness sake, I didn't rob a bank. I didn't kill anybody, you know. Here I am. I made it so far in life. I'm not behind bars. I got no criminal record. I've been a good husband, a good father. I think I will go to heaven, yes. So you think you're good enough for heaven, do you, sir? Well, yes, I guess I do. I said, tell me something. Do you think you're bad enough for hell? Huh? Do you think you're bad enough for hell? Now, that sets them back a pace, you know. They never thought of that one before. Well, I don't leave them there. I go into the gospel now and tell them, you know what God said? There's none good, no, not one. Nobody's good enough for heaven. You might be a good person, but God said, understand something. You'll never be good enough to go to heaven. We all fall short of the glory of God. That was Jesus Christ. He's our standard. Nobody lives like Jesus Christ. Nobody. Repentance, taking sides with God against yourself. I'm guilty, Lord. Okay, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Matthew 4 and 7, the very first sermon Jesus Christ preached from that time, 4:17, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. Repent. Let's not preach today. If you don't repent, you can't believe. It's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. You say, well, I believe on Jesus, so I guess I'm saved, yes? You're not saved if you never repented of your sin. If you've never truly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, no, you're not saved at all. The man, he said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Where was that man anyway? He's on his knees, and he's trembling. Does he want anything more to do with sin? Think he does? He wants nothing more to do with sin. Paul and Silas knew. Paul knew the man's heart. He's trembling. He's afraid. He's about to die and go to hell in his sins, and he knew it. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He had repented, changed his mind. And to him they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And to you, if you will repent of your sin, turn from your sin. You're going that way. I make an about face. I turn to God. I surrender my life to God. I don't want to live my life for me anymore. I don't want to call all the shots in my life. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What? How should I live? What kind of a woman should I be? What kind of a man shall I be? And you know what you're going to become? You're going to become what God says, a peculiar person. Yes, you are. We who are saved, God's people, we are a peculiar people in this world.
because we don't live unto ourselves anymore. We want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you be honest with yourself. Who have you been living to please all your life? Who? Be honest. You've been living to please yourself, yes? Just you. That's all. What am I going to do tonight? What's going on tomorrow night? Hey, I know what's going on next week. Yes? You've been living for yourself. No God for me. You've got to turn. Okay? Jeremiah 2 says, your back is to me and not your face. You got to turn around. Turn around. This last message to the disciples in Luke 24, he said, repentance. His last words now, repentance. Preach repentance. Preach repentance and remission of sin. Forgiveness of sin. You can't have forgiveness of sin if you won't repent. Okay? It is so important. Job said, now mine eye seeth thee. Okay? He had his own concept of God. Now God reveals himself to him. He says, now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself in dust and ashes. I abhor myself. Do you abhor yourself? You probably don't, do you? Huh? You don't abhor yourself. You like yourself, right? You go on living your life liking yourself just the way you are, you're going to end up in hell just as sure as you're sitting here this morning. I abhor myself. I'm a guilty sinner. That's what I am. I've been nothing but a selfish woman, a selfish man. All my life, I've not thought about God nor cared about God. You've got to get to that place in your life. No, I can't bring you there. But the Holy Spirit can. It's our prayer. He'll deal with you if you're not saved and convict you of your position. A little girl asked her daddy if he prayed. He was angry. He, who put you up to that, asking me that? Your mother? Your aunt? She said, no, daddy. Last week the preacher said that men who know God pray. He said, listen. He was upset. Listen to me, he said. Your mother and your aunt and you, they are all Christians, you see. You go your way. You go your way. And I'll go mine. That's that. In a conversation. But she didn't walk away. She said, daddy, which way are you going? Which way are you going? You know, that was like an arrow from heaven to his heart. Yeah? That shook him up. Which way am I going? He thought about it. He thought it through. Which way am I going? He knew where he was going. That night, he came out of his bedroom with tears in his eyes, and he repented of his sin and told his wife and his daughter, I'm now a Christian. Yeah? You know what the Christians were called a couple of times in the book of Acts? They were called the way people. The way. That those people over there, they go the way. What way? Jesus Christ's way. I am the way. The way people. God wants you to turn. So this man had a revelation of himself, didn't he? He saw himself. Something happened to this man before he railed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not anymore. And his perception of Christ is amazing. Okay, it's amazing. He knew more than the disciples did. His perfection. This man hath done nothing amiss. How did he know that? I don't know how he knew that. This man hath done nothing amiss all his life, and his position when thou comest into thy kingdom. So there's implying resurrection. There's implying a future kingdom when thou comest, resurrection, and that he's a king. He didn't look like a king, did he? His visage marred more than any man. They hit him and hit him and hit him and hit him. His flesh all broken open. He didn't even look like a man. Blood pouring down his body. And a crown of thorns on his head. But he called him a king. When you come into your kingdom, he recognized him as a king. And his compassion. He heard the first words out of the Savior's mouth. Father, forgive them. He probably couldn't believe that, you know. They beat him towards back open of the plowed field, the soldiers, yes? Nailed him to a cross and then planted it in the ground and walked away. And they mocked him afterward. The first words out of his mouth were, Father, forgive them. But they know not what they do. He knew that Jesus Christ was the man of compassion. And so he makes a petition here. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's a very simple prayer, isn't it? Lord, remember me. That's all. You know, in Lord, remember me. Psalm 106 and 4, it says, remember me, visit me with thy salvation. That's what he's asking. Remember me, Lord. Remember me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't. I want to be in your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know what the key word is to this right here? It's the word Lord. Sometimes in my Bible, the King James, the word Lord is in there many times. Sometimes if you look the word up, it means teacher, it means rabbi, it means master, but not here. You know what the word means? Your majesty. He's saying your majesty. And we think of, remember the days of old, they had kings. Yes? It was, yes, your majesty. You had to have an appointment even to see that man on the throne, right? You just walk in there, you're a dead man. And your majesty said, do this, you did it. When your majesty said, you don't do this anymore, you didn't do it anymore. Yes, your majesty. No, your majesty. You see how he's repented? He's changed his mind, hasn't he? If he got down from that cross, this man would have been a different man. He would have followed Jesus in the way. He would have. Yes, and live for him. Lord, remember me. See how personal it is? See how personal it is? Never mind your friends. Well, you get together with your friends, you feel safety with your friends. Let's talk about things under the sun. Let's talk about things under the sun. Yes? Never mind your friends. Never mind your family. When you die, you are born all alone, and when you die all alone. And you're going to stand before him all alone. And salvation is you're all alone. You and God. You and God. All alone. And you understand, I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. Lord, remember me. I believe in you. I don't want my sin anymore. I don't want to live for me anymore. I'm done living that way. I know the whole world's going down to hell. They're living their own way. I don't want to live my own way, Lord. I want to be among the few who are going to heaven. It's between you and God. It's very personal. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And look at the promise he received. Yes, what a promise is that? Jesus said unto him, verily, truly, I. What he's saying is, you're right about what you just said, sir. I am a king. The inscription above my head is accurate. I am the king of the Jews. Yes, I am. I am. Jesus Christ, Son of God Almighty, Savior of the world, I say unto thee. Nobody else. We don't read of anybody else calling on the name of the Lord here. Nobody. Especially not the other thief. And so he says, I say unto thee, you, unto you. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a wonderful Savior. Isn't he a loving Savior? You know, the next verse tells us about the darkness that was to come. In the darkness, he was made to be sin. In the darkness, he was forsaken by his Father. 3 hours. That was the cup. All this is leading up to the cup. The cup he's about to drink, and yet he still took the time to save one sinner. He took the time to have a conversation with this man and promise him, today you'll be with me in paradise. How God loves sinners. And he can save us because he was punished for our sins. You see, he was punished for your sins already. There's no judgment for you. No judgment for me. I don't even think about it. For 34 years of my life, I never think about that. I know where I'm going. I don't care how I feel. I might not feel saved. I might not feel close to God, but I know where I'm going because Jesus Christ gave me his promise. Yes, a lady was crossing the Atlantic Ocean for the first time, and she was terrified. A storm coming up, you know. She heard a ship sinking, yeah. She's terrified. She's not enjoying herself at all, you know. Every day she's up on the deck looking at the skies, you know. And one day she sees these dark clouds. She saw a sailor. She said, excuse me, are those storm clouds? He said, yes, they are. She said, oh, my goodness. We're probably going to sink, aren't we? And he just smiled at her and said, madam, you don't have to worry about the storm clouds. Because they're behind us. They are behind us. We're already past them. And for the Christian, the storm is behind us. It fell on Christ. It fell on God's lovely Son that we might be free. There's no storm for us. and his praise and his peace. Okay, they sent the soldiers to break their legs. Otherwise, they hang on the cross. Sometimes, I read, maybe for 3 days, suffering on the cross. But you break the legs, and they have no more support, and they can't breathe anymore. They die within 1 hour. They're gone. They're dead. Now, the other thief probably was pleading for his life when he saw them coming, yes? People just want to stay here as long as they can. They don't want to leave. How about this other man? When he saw the soldiers coming with that bar to break his legs, I do believe he praised God. You know why he praised God? Because my suffering's all over. My suffering's going to be over in 1 hour. And today, Jesus Christ promised me today, when I die, I'm going to be with him in paradise. What peace. He had peace in his heart. Like it says in Ezra, peace. And at such a time, they're going to break his legs and take his life. And he had peace, and he praised God because he was going home to be with Christ. All right? God wants you to be saved so he can take you home. And in closing, I'll just read something. There is no condemnation. There is no hell for me. The prison house below my eyes, I shall never see. For me, there is no sentence. I shall not wail and moan, because the Lord who saved me shall safely bring me home. It's wonderful to be a Christian, you know. It's wonderful. God loves you. I know this message was solemn. It's not easy preaching a solemn message. But I had to, because God wanted it preached. So I did. And I trust God has spoken to your heart. If you're not saved, you got to wake up, you know. Wake up. Don't go back to sleep. You trust Christ. Make him yours today. If he's spoken to your heart, you hear him calling you. You feel him calling you. Well, you come today. Yes, you come today. We'll just pray. Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to thee and thank thee for the gospel and for his power. We rest now and leave this matter with thee, Father. We have proclaimed the gospel, and we leave it with thee. Salvation is of the Lord. May thy Holy Spirit do a great work in someone's heart, Father, that they might not be able to forget what they've heard this morning. We ask this in thy Son's name, for his honor, for his glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.